I imagine that from time to time when you've travelled around, you've passed motels or hotels, and out by the gate has been a sign saying, no vacancy. No room. Every bed is taken. And that's not a problem until you're looking for a place. You're looking for a bed. You're looking for somewhere to stay. And then those signs would fill you with disappointment and anxiety. Where are we going to stay tonight if all the motels are booked out? Well, it was a little bit like that for Mary and Joseph when they came to Bethlehem. We're told that they came there because there had been a decree by the Romans that everyone needed to be registered in a census. And everyone had to go to the town of their forefathers. And for both Joseph and Mary, that meant going back to Bethlehem. They were of the house of David, of his lineage. And that was his city, the city of David, Bethlehem. And so there they went, and it came about that while they were there, it came time for Mary to give birth to the baby Jesus. And in verse 7 of Luke chapter 2, we're told that she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And so it has become popular on our Christmas cards, well, our religious Christmas cards at least, to have a stable scene with the cow and the obligatory donkey and the sheep with their lambs all gathered around this manger, a feeding trough for the animals. And they're not gathered around there to feed, they're gathered around there to worship the baby that has been placed there in the manger. That's the scene that we have, this stable scene with the manger there and the baby with a smiling face lying in that soft straw. Well, if you've handled straw, it's generally not all that soft, it's quite prickly. Wouldn't have been a very comfortable bed, wouldn't have been a very clean environment to lay a baby. But that was the only place that there was, for there was no room for them in the inn. Now, there is some debate over exactly what this stable was like. Probably not like our stables today, but more likely to have been an area in the lower part of the inn where the animals were kept of the travellers who were passing through. And then upstairs there would have been an area where the travellers would have slept. And what they're saying is that there was no room in that place where the travellers were sleeping, and so Mary and Joseph had to content themselves with that lower area. And there Jesus was born, and there he was laid in the manger. Now I want to ask a couple of questions this morning. The first question is to ask, well, who was lying in the manger? Who was lying in the manger? Well, of course, it's a baby that's lying in the manger. Mary gave birth to her firstborn son, we're told, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, which were bands of cloth to keep the child warm and safe, and laid him in a manger. It was a baby lying in that manger. And perhaps in very poor places, it wouldn't be so unusual to find that a woman had given birth to a baby in such primitive conditions, or even had to lay him to sleep on a bed of straw. But this wasn't just any baby. This, we're told, was the Son of God. That's how he was announced to Mary. An angel came, as we read earlier, and came to Mary and announced that she was a favoured one. The Lord was with her, that she was to give birth to a son, call his name Jesus, and he would be great and would be called the Son of the Most High. And a little later on, explaining how she, who was a virgin, would come to give birth, he said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. This baby lying in the manger was the Son of God. Luke puts it, John puts it a very different way as he begins his gospel with an introduction that begins, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then he goes on to say, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." So in different words, John's saying the same thing. That baby lying in the manger is the Son of God. Isn't that astounding? That God the Son should come into this world, into such primitive conditions, into such poverty and humility. But we can say more than that. We can also say that this baby that lay there in that manger was the creator of the world. He was the one who brought this world into existence. In John chapter 1 and verse 2, we're told he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And again, John goes on and he says, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. So the creator of the world, who spoke this world into existence, who spoke and the light shone out of the darkness, who spoke and the waters separated and the dry land appeared, who spoke and the skies were suddenly filled with stars and the sun shone brightly and the moon began to reflect the rays of the sun, who spoke and the earth brought forth vegetation, all kinds of trees bearing fruit and the herbs of the field, each after its kind. Who spoke, and suddenly, among all of this lush greenness, animals walked and insects crawled. This is the one who lay there in a manger. The one who brought the world into existence came into the world, clothed in our humanity, clothed in our flesh. He contracted himself to a span, incomprehensibly was made man. The creator of the world there, helplessly lying in a manger. But we can say still more about this baby who lay there in a manger. He was also the promised Messiah. He was the one that the Jews had been told to expect over a period of hundreds of years through the mouths of different prophets. They were expecting someone to come, a man to be sent by God who would have a special place to play in their history. He would be a deliverer for them. He would have the victory over their enemy, and he would bring release to the captives and sight to the blind, healing to the sick. And they lived in great expectation of this coming one. And no doubt there would have been many women, women of the House of David in particular, who would have been wondering every time they discovered that they were pregnant. Am I pregnant with the Messiah? Is the baby that I am to deliver, is he the one that's going to arise among the children of Israel and be the deliverer that God has promised? And you can imagine then the great expectancy among the people of Israel throughout the years, waiting, waiting, waiting for this child to be born. And now here he is, there lying asleep on the hay in the manger. Here is the promised Messiah. He came John says, to his own. But his own people didn't receive him. When he came, they didn't recognize him. One man said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? He's supposed to be different from this, under different conditions from this. We're not expecting a deliverer to be born in poverty, a deliverer to be born in such humiliating circumstances. We're expecting a king. We're expecting a ruler. We're expecting someone majestic to reign over us. We're expecting someone to come from a palace, not from a place like this. But this is who is lying in this manger. A baby, yes, but the Son of God, the Creator of the world, the promised Messiah. Now, the second question I want to ask is this: why was he lying in a manger? Why was he lying in a manger? Well, I suppose the simple answer is because it was busy in Bethlehem and Jerusalem. Every descendant of David was there. Someone from their household was there, signing the register that they had been commanded to complete. And so Bethlehem was full of people. Masses and masses of people had come there, and they had all been looking for a place to stay. And so all the beds were taken. All the inns were full. That's why Mary and Joseph are there with the animals. That's why Jesus, having just been born, is laid to rest in a manger. Because it's so busy in Bethlehem on this particular occasion. But we could say more than that. No doubt, had they had sufficient money, they could have bought their way into the inn. They could have bought their way into a bed. Had they had enough coins to jingle before the innkeeper's nose, no doubt they could have persuaded him. They could have arranged things that Mary, at the end of her pregnancy, could give birth to her child in better conditions than those among the animals. But Joseph wasn't a wealthy man. Mary wasn't from a rich home. We know that because, being the religious people that they are, they were very faithful to the laws of Israel. And one of the laws of Israel that they had to keep was to give a sacrifice after the birth of a child. And they were to bring a sacrifice of an animal, unless they were poor. And if they were poor, they could bring a sacrifice of two turtle doves or young pigeons. And you see, that's the sacrifice that Joseph and Mary brought to the temple after the birth of Jesus. We know that they were from a poor family. And so this baby that is born there in Bethlehem had no chance, did he? No opportunity for his parents to haggle their way into a better place than this. So he's lying there in a manger because Joseph and Mary were poor. But there's more to the story than that. It's not just because the place is busy. It's not just because Joseph and Mary are poor. He lies there in a manger because he has a mission to fulfill. You know, the Son of God didn't need to come at all, did he? The Creator of the world didn't need to become a part of his creation by taking on the humanity of man. He didn't have to do that. He chose to do that in order to be the Savior of his people. We can say that Jesus was lying in that manger because he chose to. Because he chose to come into this world. Because he chose to be born into that situation of poverty. He chose to be born at that time when all the people would be drawn to Bethlehem in order to register for this census. Indeed, he was orchestrating all of those events so that at the right time he came. Under the right conditions he came. Born in the right place. He came. It's all his doing. It's all his choosing. This baby lies in that manger because it was his will to do so. He came on this mission, a mission to bring light to the world. That's what John says. He says in his Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 9, the true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And then he goes on and he says, no one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. This light that he brings into the world is the light of the knowledge of God. The light of the glory of God. Jesus came into this world to reveal God to a sinful humanity. But he came to do more than that. He didn't just come to illuminate this world with a knowledge of God. He came into this world to give people a fresh start, to give them a new birth, that's how we refer to it, to cause them to be born again. We're told that his own people didn't receive him. The Jews who were to have expected him and were living in anticipation of him but who didn't recognize him when he came and didn't receive him. John says to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. He came to give a fresh start. He came to give this new birth because, you see, we were dead in trespasses and sins. We were alienated from God through our rebellion to him, our refusal to obey his laws, our refusal to live lives that reflected his character. We went our own way. We did our own thing. We all, like sheep, went astray. Everyone went his own way, Isaiah tells us. And Jesus came. He came to change those circumstances, to bring a fresh start to those who would believe in him, to break down the walls of hostility that were a barrier between us and God, and to bring reconciliation with God. In other words, Jesus came to save his people from their sins. That's how he was announced to Joseph. When Joseph was considering divorcing Mary because she had become pregnant, and the angel came and assured him that she hadn't been unfaithful to him, that the Holy Spirit had caused this child to be conceived in her, and that he would save his people from their sins. That is why this baby is lying in the manger, because he's come to be the savior of his people. This was a mission that he was on, and the mission started in those humble circumstances, and all through his life he would live a life of humility and a life of submission to the plan of salvation, until at last he would hang dying on a cross outside Jerusalem. Here, there on that cross, he would bring to completion the work that he began as a baby in Bethlehem, lying in that manger. There on the cross, he died for the sins of his people. He bore the wrath of God that they deserved and freed them that they might be justified in God's sight. That's why he's lying in a manger. The Son of God, the Creator of the world, the promised Messiah. Now I have one more question. And that is, what are you doing about this? This one who was born there in Bethlehem and lay to rest in a manger. The Son of God, the Creator of the world, the promised Messiah, who came on a mission to save his people. What are you doing about that? There above the inn, we can imagine the sign hanging. No vacancy. No more room. And I want to ask you this morning, is there room for Jesus in your life? Is there room for Jesus in your heart? Your hearts that are so full of all the excitement of Christmas this morning and longing to get home and play with the presents that you've received or eat them or whatever's the appropriate thing to do with the presents you've received. But is there room for Jesus in the midst of all that excitement? Is there room for this baby in Bethlehem who grew up and became a man in order to save his people from their sins? Is there room in your life to acknowledge that you're a sinner in need of a saviour? Or does your heart have a sign hanging over it? No vacancy. No more room. No room for Jesus in my life. No room for his voice to be heard. No room for his guidance to lead me. No room for his love to affect me. There's no room for Jesus in my life. Is that what your heart says? Is that what your life says? We look at the scene of Mary giving birth to this baby in such humble situation, and we think to ourselves, that should never have happened. What kind of hard-hearted innkeeper would not allow this woman to have a bed, to give birth in some degree of comfort? What kind of innkeeper wouldn't even vacate his own room that someone in this situation might have a space? And yet everyone who rejects Jesus today is doing exactly the same thing, you see. The God of creation, who humbled himself and came into this world to save sinners, to give reconciliation between rebels and a righteous God, and those rebels say, no room for you in my life. I don't want this reconciliation that you're offering. Or at least I don't want it the way that you're offering to give it to me. And they banish Jesus from their lives. And I'm asking you, are you doing that today? Are you pushing Jesus out of your life? Even as I speak this morning, is that what's happening? Are the shutters going up? Oh, I've heard this. I've heard this so many times. I don't want to hear this again. I just want to get back to my toys, back to my chocolate, back to my Christmas dinner. It's a tragedy that the God who showed such love should be rejected in such a way. And I urge you this morning, in the midst of all the excitement of the things around you, remember this most important thing, that you are a sinner who will one day face God as judge. Do you have a Saviour who will vouch for you on that day and say to his Father, I lay down my life for this one. I've paid the price for his sins. I've been living with him and guiding him and loving him all through the years of his life, short or long though they may be. He's mine, bought with a price. Will you have Jesus in your heart, in your life, as your Saviour today? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you most of all for Jesus, for his coming in such humbling circumstances in order to fulfill this mission to be the Saviour of sinners. all of us here this morning have a need of him to be our Saviour. Help us, Lord, to make room for him in our lives, in all the excitement of Christmas, in all the routine of our daily lives, all the sorrows and all the joys. Help us, Lord, to make room for Jesus, that he may have a place in our hearts, that he may have the rule over our lives, that he may be our Lord, our Saviour, our Deliverer. We ask in his name. Amen.